Hello, this is Ahuka welcoming you to Hacker Public Radio and another exciting episode of HPR. And today what I want to do is talk about an event that I was involved in that happened just a couple of weeks ago as I record this, and that is something called PenguinCon. Now, I've been going to PenguinCon for a number of years. I've presented talks at PenguinCon for a number of years. But this year was a little bit different, and that's because I was actually involved with helping to put on PenguinCon. Now, there's a little bit of backstory to this. Some years back, I was at PenguinCon, and there was a talk being given by George Castro, who works for Canonical and is a friend of mine. He actually lives in the area, so I do get to see George fairly often. And in this particular one, he was talking about how you can get help if you're using Linux. And I was in the room and I said, hey, you know, George, you're not mentioning Linux users groups. And I was president of a Linux users group at the time. So I said, I think, you know, you ought to be mentioning these Linux users groups more, because that's a really good place for people to go and get some work done. Well, as it happens, there was a lady named Beth Lynn Eicher who was also there. And when I left the room, she kind of hit me up a little bit and said, hey, we could really use someone working with Ohio Linux Fest. And initially what she was talking about was being the liaison with the Linux users groups. And because I had spoken up about that in this talk, she thought I'd be a good person for it. So I said, fine, I would do that. And then what happened is about a year later, I ended up taking over all of the publicity for Ohio Linux Fest and did that for a few years. And I had a great time doing it, learned an awful lot. But there was a point where I thought, okay, I've done this, it's time to move on. And for me, that happened last fall. We had the Ohio Linux Fest was in September, and shortly after that, I informed them that I would not be coming back. Got a lot of friends there. I wish them well. I am very much looking forward to going back to Ohio Linux Fest again this coming fall for the 2014 event. And in fact, maybe looking forward to a little bit more, because since I'm not working, I might actually have time to enjoy the event and participate in a few more, listen to a few more of the talks and things like that, as well as, of course, the ever popular hallway track. But anyway, that's coming up. So with PenguinCon, because it's something I've been associated with for a long time. I called a friend of mine named James Heiss and said, I'd like to help with the tech track. Now, PenguinCon is a very interesting event because it combines technology. The part of the name comes from Penguin, which is, of course, the mascot of Linux. So it combines a focus on Linux and, you know, computer and open source technology, along with what is a science fiction convention, with all of the things that science fiction conventions do. So you have literature and movies and music and costumes and all of that. So the thing that's interesting is, to me, I think, is that I don't know about anyone else, but when we talk about a pure technology event, my wife is usually not interested, but, you know, for the science fiction, she might be. So there's a lot there for a wide variety of people. Now, being the sort of person I am, many times I've gone there and never got past anything but the tech track. And it's just because I'd look at the schedule, you know, what am I most interested in right now? And it was usually going to be something having to do with computer technology, because that just is my interest. So I was offering to help with that. And went through a couple of meetings, and then I'd say by February of this year, it was pretty clear to me that I was the guy. I'm sure none of you have ever had that experience, but it was sort of like, you know, they call for volunteers and everyone else steps backward. So actually, I didn't mind that. There were some things that I thought would be worth doing, and in fact, I enjoyed it enough that I've already told them I'm going to stick around for another year. And I'm pretty excited about that, because it looks like pretty much the whole team that we had this year is continuing. And I think we had a very successful event this year. So I will no doubt have more to say on upcoming events, and I'll be recording things for Hacker Public Radio about it. But this is about reviewing 2014. So my focus is on the tech track, because that's what I was responsible for. I attended as many of the talks as I could. In fact, I only attended one talk that was outside of the tech track, and it was one on the future of healthcare, which is also an interest for me. A lot of this is going to be recapping some of these tracks, and just to give you a little bit of a flavor of what goes on. Now, my recollection obviously does not cover everything that went on over the weekend, therefore. And, you know, there were costume competitions and food events and music and, you know, one room where I think they were running Rocky Horror Picture Show on a continuous roll and everything else. So there's plenty to do. And even with the tech track, we had about 70 hours worth of programming, and there was just no way I could attend every single talk. I did as many as I could. And so, you know, I got complaints occasionally from people that they wanted to attend two talks that were scheduled opposite each other, and I could sympathize, because it was very often what I felt looking at the schedule was, oh, I can't be in two places at once. Which one do I go to? But I'll tell you, as the person who was mostly responsible for the programming, I'll take that kind of problem any day of the week. You know, I love hearing that, because what that means is I'm putting on a lot of talks that people want to go to. You know, what you don't want to hear is, you know, I looked at the schedule, it all sucked. I didn't want to go to any of them. Then, you know, if you hear that from too many people, that you've got a problem. One or two people, you know, I got one friend who, frankly, I told him I'm going to apply a correction factor to everything he says. The other good problem that I had this weekend was that in many cases, the rooms were packed. PenguinCon in general had record attendance, which means we have to figure out how to do better next year. The host facility was excellent. We were at the Westin Hotel in Southfield, Michigan. Everyone I talked to had good things to say about them. I hope we can go back next year. So this is located in, Southfield is a suburb of Detroit in southeastern Michigan in the United States. So if you happen to be within convenient travel distance, you know, you might want to put it on the schedule to take a look at this and consider coming next year. Now, I think this year was the best tech track in my memory, at least, and I'm going to give the credit to that to our con chair, who is Nuri Gosay, because he was really pushing. He was pushing that before I became involved. He was saying, we got to do more, we got to get more. And every time I asked him how many talks he wanted, he kept saying, you can't have too many. So we had 2 days worth, if you add it up. It started Friday afternoon and ran to Sunday afternoon. And by the end, it was tricky just finding the rooms and equipment to make it happen, but we mostly managed to do it. And as I said, the result was about 70 hours of pretty good tech programming. Now, we had a focus. This past year was the year of Edward Snowden, and I doubt that I'm the only tech programmer in the world that had this idea, but I thought, you know, let's make a focus around that. So we tried to program stuff on various aspects of security and privacy, and I think did a pretty darn good job. Now, one of the first people I want to talk about is a fellow named Michael Lucas. Now, he is not only a security expert, but an author, and he has written a number of books on these topics. So he did several talks. One was on the proper way to set up sudo, with the subtitle, "You're Doing It Wrong." And if you sat in on his talk, you would agree, you probably are doing it wrong, because he really dug into how that is supposed to work and how you should set it up in order to have a secure server. What you do on your home system is, of course, your own business. And then he did one on DNSSEC, and that was very interesting as well, a different aspect of security. And, you know, it ties in with things like Heartbleed and you know, SSL certs and all of that. DNSSEC ends up being a part of that story as well, and did a fascinating talk on that. And then he did one on SSH key authentication. Now, as I said, he is an author. He's written books on all of these, which he sells from his site, which is the Tilted Windmill Press. And I'll have a link in the show notes for the stuff. And he offered a special deal to our attendees to buy a bundle of all three as ebooks for $20. And I was more than happy to take advantage of that. So I purchased all three of those books. And I'm really hoping to have Michael back again next year, because he not only knows his stuff, but he gives a really good presentation. Then a friend of mine, Mark Stanislav, who works for a company called Duo Security, gave us a talk on two-factor authentication. Mark is a great speaker. I always learn something from his talks. One of the things I appreciate about the talk that he gave, he works for a company that provides a two-factor authentication product, but it was not a sales pitch or a commercial for his company. It really was just a talk about essentially what is two-factor authentication and what does that mean. And, you know, Mark is... was very careful to talk about things like if you have a password and a PIN, that is not two-factor. It's better than nothing, but it's not two-factor authentication. You know, it's something you know, something you have, and at some point maybe something you are, you know. So biometrics would be something you are, something you have, could be a phone or some other device, a portable RSA key or what have you, and then something you know, which would be like a password or a PIN. And so two-factor is means that you've got to have at least one from each category. Then we had a crypto party. Susan Sons, who works in a university in the security department, came and did the crypto party PenguinCon edition with help from Eric Raymond, and I'm sure many people have heard of Eric Raymond. He's most famous for writing The Cathedral and the Bazaar. But what you may not know is that he's one of the people who helped get PenguinCon going and has been involved right from the beginning. So you can usually count on seeing him at PenguinCon every year. Interesting fellow. And one of those people I don't often agree with, but he always challenges me, and that's a good thing. And then along with that, Chris Nairn and John Bell participated in that. Now, John did a few other things. He did some command line stuff for us, and also Geeks with Guns. So there were quite a few things going on. So with the crypto party was basically a beginner's guide to using encryption. And Susan was very methodical and patient in going through this. And there were some people in the room that were slow to catch on, let me say. And she was very nice in handling that. And in fact, as you might expect, I was also involved in a presentation. I got together with my friend Tony Bemis from the Sunday Morning Linux Review, and we did a talk on encryption, which was pretty well received and very similar to stuff I've done for Hacker Public Radio. And I think we not too long ago ran interview that Tony and I, we got together on the Mumble server one day and just talked about the web of trust and key signing. So, and if you're not following, subscribing, whatever, to Sunday Morning Linux Review, check it out. It's a really good podcast. And in fact, I suspect next year I'm going to have all of the hosts of that, because Matt Enders and Mary Tomich have also told me that they want to do talks at PenguinCon next year, and they've got some ideas. So, another security thing, Chris Krieger, who is an old friend of mine. In fact, I met Chris because we were singing together in a Madrigal group, and that's how I first met him. But he is a security professional and works now for an international bank, and is, other than that, is fairly vague. So I don't think he wants to get into the details of his job, and I understand that. My wife had an uncle who was very much that way, and did, I think, communication security for the federal government. So Chris did one, securing your home network with a hardware firewall, and he focused on using pfSense. I was very interested and took some notes, and don't be surprised if I end up doing something for Hacker Public Radio as part of my security and privacy series, because I think it looked like a really good thing to bring into this. Next year, we talked about maybe getting a presentation on Snort, which is one of the things you might use in conjunction with a hardware firewall. Then there was a fellow named Mark Kikta. And his presentation was Linux Dorking, Exploring the Basics of Linux from the Eyes of an Attacker. And that was really good. Again, we've got a professional in security industry, and you know, all of these people, Chris Krieger, Mark Kikta, Mark Stanislav, Michael Lucas, Susan Sons, you know, they were all professionals. And I think that's one of the reasons that makes the presentation so good. You know, you're getting the information from the people who live this every day, and they know what they're talking about. Now, aside from the purely technical aspects, there were some policy questions. One of our guests of honor this year was a lady named Eva Galperin from the Electronic Frontier Foundation. And then we were able, kind of at the last minute, it just happened to work out that we could get Cory Doctorow, who came in as a featured guest. And, you know, they did a number of things, but one of them was a panel that they did together called The NSA is Watching You, The Government, Surveillance, and You. Now, of course, Cory is kind of a double hitter for something like PenguinCon. He not only is very prominent in the security and technology area, but he is a science fiction author, and I've talked about Cory before, so we're just delighted to have him. Then another guest of honor who covered multiple areas was a fellow named YT Cracker. Now, he was there primarily as a musical guest, but he has a background in hacking, so he was able to join a few of the panels that dealt with that. And while I'm on Guests of Honor, I'll mention Ernie Klein, who is the author of Ready Player One, a book that I suspect quite a few people listening to Hacker Public Radio have read or at least have heard of. And we had a fellow, Ed Mason, from Gameface Labs, who showed off a virtual reality headset throughout the weekend in addition to joining various panels. And finally, the last of our guests of honor was Erica Carlson, who is a software developer who created an organization called Girl Develop It, a Detroit area group that focuses on helping girls to become coders. So all in all, I thought we had an excellent group of guests of honor. Now, the Tech Track wasn't all about that. In fact, probably a little less than 50% of the total went into the security and privacy. So we had lots of other things. George Castro from Canonical, I've mentioned, is usually there. In fact, if you go back far enough in PenguinCon history, I think he was saying that he once ran the Tech Track back in the day. So he's from this area and now works for Canonical. He gave a presentation on Ubuntu, not surprisingly. Now, George is very involved with the cloud and server stuff, and I've seen him do presentations on Juju, and so he used some of that and all of the initiatives that Canonical is making to get Ubuntu into the cloud, and they've been very successful there, and they're really a major player in that space. But then for fun, George also did one on building a Steam box. And as you may know, the Steam game system has been ported to Linux and runs on Ubuntu. And in fact, we had a release party on Saturday night put on by the Ubuntu Michigan Loco. And Craig Maloney, who's a friend of mine, is the head of that particular group, and he also did one on getting things done with Linux, if you've heard of the infamous getting things done. Then Sunday morning Linux review. You know, these are local people, so you know, we love having them involved, and they've done this for a few years now. They did a live recording of their podcast, and you know, we want that to be an annual event, really. So Tony and Mary and Matt recorded their show at PenguinCon, and it was open to anyone at the convention to, you know, drop by and be a part of the recording. Then we had a couple of folks from Red Hat, Ruth Sewell and Tom Calloway, and they did a couple of presentations. Now, one was on Raspberry Pi hacks, which is the title of a book that they recently published, and O'Reilly is the publisher, and O'Reilly's a really good publisher too. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, check it out. They gave a great presentation. Then they did another one on 3D printing using Linux. Now, there were more. I was not at every single one of these. I wish I could have, but there was just no way for me to get to all of them. So we had several talks, you know, beginning and intermediate on HTML5. We had a talk on Python, one on Pascal. There was someone doing a presentation on the Watson computer from IBM. Programming for Total Noobs was one of the ones. There was one on, I guess what you call maybe open source firearms. I'm not sure if that's exactly the right term, using 3D printers. So lots of stuff going on. So, you know, just reporting everything that went on would make this much longer than it already is. And I've focused on the stuff I attended because then I can really speak to what went on. But again, as I say, it's a science fiction convention as well. So you're going to have all of the stuff. In fact, there was a contest for best costume, and it was won by Ruth Sewell from Red Hat. So, you know, just because you're a hardcore geek doesn't mean you can't let your hair down and have a little bit of fun. As I said, I did get out to the Future of Healthcare panel. Now, for me, that's a personal interest because I've worked for several hospitals in my career on the technology side, but it gave me an interest in that. So I'd encourage everyone to plan on attending PenguinCon in 2015. And as soon as the date is confirmed, I will certainly be posting about it. And when we start the call for talks, I'm probably going to record something for Hacker Public Radio. And, you know, I think that with the team we have, it's going to be even bigger and better than 2014. And it'll be plenty for everyone. If you want to get an idea of for planning before we get a definite date, it will almost certainly be the last weekend in April or the first weekend in May. That's really when they always do it. It's always around that time of the year. And if you know anything about programming, you know part of it is what is available with the facility. And the other is what else is going on at the same time. So you try and take those into account. But that's what it's always been a spring event, and I'm sure it will be again next year. So this is Ahuka signing off for Hacker Public Radio and reminding you, as I always do, to support free software. Goodbye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.